News. Federal Energy Chief William Simon says it's okay for refiners with adequate stocks of heating oil on hand to boost production of gasoline now. He noted that some have already done so, setting gasoline production for the week ending February 1st up 2% from the week before. Simon said he hopes the action will alleviate some of the shortages we are experiencing. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A regional deputy director for the Energy Office, Gerald Turetsky of the New York, New Jersey office, told CBS News correspondent Jim Kilpatrick that the reason for continuing severe shortages in the Northeast is that some people aren't doing their part.
The fact is we are short on gasoline, and people have not yet cut back. And most people are vying for the same limited quantity. And so those people who can get somebody to wait online for whatever time it takes and wait on enough lines to get their tank filled up will do so, and to the exclusion of others who don't have that much time. And so the bottom line of it is we've got to cut back materially.
The Postal Service, meantime, has announced plans to cut its use of fuel 10% below last year. The savings will be accomplished by revising intercity mail truck schedules and ordering drivers to adopt gas-saving techniques. The Postal Service also assures that the conservation moves will not disrupt deliveries measurably, as it was put. Preliminary meetings were underway in Washington today for the Conference of Major Oil-Consuming Nations, which begins tomorrow. The U.S. favors a coordinated approach to supply problems, but some nations which will attend have been making independent bilateral deals with Arab oil nations, and the conference will not open with an atmosphere of unity. The Skylab 3 astronauts are due to arrive back in Houston and reunions with their families within the hour. Their record-breaking 84-day space mission and long hours of medical checks behind them. They stepped on dry land for the first time this afternoon, leaving the recovery carrier in San Diego and participating in brief dockside ceremonies. Astronaut Gerald Carr spoke.
We've always felt that man has a place in space. That space was not a place that was just to be relegated to machines or robots. I think the Skylab program has pretty well laid to rest any dissenters to that theory.
An admiral who took part in the ceremonies welcomed the astronauts back to the energy crisis, most of which they've missed in space so far. He said they would personally appreciate the situation the first time they tried to fill up their cars with gasoline. Republican Senator Howard Baker of Tennessee, the vice chairman of the Watergate Committee, didn't show his cards when asked about 1976 and the presidential nomination today. He said he hasn't decided whether to actively seek the nomination, but would take soundings during a speaking tour he's making at some colleges in the West. Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts was talking about 1976 and the Democratic nomination during an appearance on the CBS News broadcast Face the Nation today. He says that if he does seek the bid, he'll enter the state primaries, but he too refused to reveal his intentions per se. Kennedy also predicted some form of health insurance bill will be passed by the end of the year. He and other lawmakers have introduced such legislation, as has President Nixon. On the NBC broadcast Meet the Press today, Health, Education, and Welfare Secretary Weinberger defended the administration plan from charges that its inception would mean windfall profits for insurance companies. He also denied the Nixon plan would cost $70 billion a year, as some estimates have predicted, but charged that the Kennedy plan would cost $80 billion and a substantial tax increase. A new Gallup poll claims to show that voter identification with a particular political party is at its lowest point in 34 years. 42% of those polled classify themselves as Democrats, 24% as Republicans. The remaining 34% did not align themselves. A poll published today by the Washington Post claims to show that if the Senate were to have to sit in judgment on an impeached President Nixon today, the vote would be overwhelmingly against ousting him from office. The newspaper poll says such a vote would be at least 17 votes shy of the two-thirds majority needed, and probably more. Congressman Peter Rodino, head of the House Judiciary Committee looking into impeachment, said the committee is about to request some more documents from the White House today. We'll have more news after this.
Hello there, I'm Mike Roy.
And I'd be Denny Bracken, looking down that long, sweet cooking road ahead for the week of Mike Roy's cooking thing.
And we'll start off sweetly enough with pear cream tarts tomorrow. How's that sound?
Perfect.
Yeah. Easy to mix fresh pears, packaged pudding mix, brandy for flavor. On Tuesday, we'll fix a hearty Swedish dish called pitti panna.
What's that?
Combination of meat, potatoes, and olive goodies.
Oh, you got my enzymes gurgling. What's for Wednesday?
Another little vacation from the kitchen. We'll talk about the guidebooks, something that'll come in handy on your vacation.
I hope so.
Back to the stove on Thursday for banana crunch cake, whatever. Friday, we'll fix Aunt Boo's waffles.
Aunt who?
Aunt Boo.
Boo?
Uh-huh. And we'll wind up the week on Saturday with South African meatloaf. Got some surprise ingredients that'll make it really special.
Well, I certainly guess so. We're going to be cheering and booing this whole week ahead on Mike Roy's Cooking Thing. Join us, friends, won't you? Lots of special fare ahead, radio fare, that is, on Mike's Cooking Thing right here on the CBS Radio Network.
Seven people are dead in the aftermath of a mid-air collision early today between two Air Force jets near Colorado Springs, Colorado. The collision occurred shortly after one of the planes had taken off from Peterson Airfield. All of the dead were in one plane. 18 people in the other were unhurt as their aircraft managed to limp to a safe landing at Kirtland Air Base in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Iraq and Iran are fighting across their common border, according to reports from the Iraqi side. Their communique says heavy artillery and armor battles left 70 Iranians dead and produced 23 casualties of their own. Iran has made no official comment yet. Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
And this is Dan Hart for KOIN. Oregon State Senator Victor Atiyah of Beaverton said last night he doesn't think the special session of the legislature will pass another real estate consumer protection law. Atiyah, who is a candidate for governor, said the last law repealed by a one-day special session of the legislature was disastrous. He said there is adequate protection for the consumer under other laws. In other matters, he said he thinks the legislature will override Governor McCull's veto of the bill extending the domestic fishing zone to 50 miles off the coast. McCull said he vetoed it because it was not the state's job to enforce it, and the state couldn't do it in any case. Atiyah said he disagreed. The Washington State Senate has approved a bill that would give a special committee the power to control all state energy products in an emergency. Governor Dan Evans already has the power to cut or ration electricity and wants that power extended to all forms of energy. The bill would take the power from Evans and give it to the committee. Some legislators feel one man shouldn't have so much power. In Oregon, the special session of the legislature, which opens tomorrow, will consider a bill giving broad emergency powers to Republican Governor Tom McCall to deal with an emergency. Key legislators of each party are balking, though. They, too, want to avoid giving one man so much power. Many who say they oppose the bill hurry to add it isn't because they don't trust McCall. As one Democratic legislator put it, it wouldn't always be Tom. The special session is to consider more than 40 energy-related bills. A northeast Portland man, 60-year-old Sylvester Frazier, died last night from bullet wounds he sustained in a domestic quarrel. Police arrested 55-year-old Hetty Butler on a murder charge. They say they found Frazier lying injured in a driveway at 3969 Northeast Grand Avenue. Firemen say arsonists started a three-alarm fire that caused about $250,000 damage at the Whiting Transportation Company terminal early today. Firemen said they found plastic bleach bottles filled with gas and plugged with rag wicks. Seven tank trucks were damaged, and another 150 trucks in the terminal yard were threatened. A company worker at the terminal, Ray Sering, says he doesn't know if the fire was set as a result of the recent trucking strike. A Whiting dispatcher says trucks operated during the strike. Whiting truck drivers are not independent drivers. Portland police narcotics officers have seized what they believe to be 50 pounds of marijuana and an ounce of cocaine at a southwest Portland motel. Four Portland men have been arrested in connection with the seizure and charged with criminal activity and drugs. Arrested are 20-year-old Jim Foley, 30-year-old Jack V. Fisher, 20-year-old Stephen V. Huntley, and 27-year-old John W. Waite. Movie theaters aren't the only ones making revenues off the popularity of the movie The Exorcist. Milwaukee police say The Exorcist, now playing at the Southgate Theater, is responsible for significantly upping their traffic ticket revenue. Apparently, motorists on their way to see the movie have been making illegal turns off McLaughlin Boulevard and onto Millport Road. Watch your step when you go out there tonight, Gene. The KOIN weatherman calling for fog and low clouds tonight and tomorrow morning, clearing during the afternoon. Increasing clouds with chance of showers late tomorrow night and Tuesday. Low tonight in the low 30s, and in the low 30s, make that low 40s tomorrow night. The high tomorrow near 50 with winds light and variable, And chance of precipitation near zero tonight and tomorrow. 40% chance of rain tomorrow night. Currently in Portland, it's 45 degrees. Thank you for joining us for KOIN News. Dan Hart reporting. 97 Radio, KOIN, 10 o'clock.
CBS News. Energy Chief William Simon announces another move to ease the gasoline shortage. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Simon says the nation's oil refiners can now start producing more gasoline if they already have enough heating oil on hand to last the rest of the winter. According to Simon, some refineries have already started switching to more gasoline production, and production for the week ending February 1st was 2% higher than the week before. Simon says his office is going to continue to monitor fuel supplies and refinery yields to make sure a proper balance of all petroleum product output is maintained. Four states, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Washington, and the District of Columbia, began gasoline rationing programs on Monday. The toughest plan is New Jersey's, where the rules are mandatory and there are stiff fines and jail sentences for violators. Motorists in New Jersey can only buy gas every other day based on the last digit of their license plates, and it'll be illegal to buy gas in New Jersey if your tank is more than half full. The other states have a similar alternate day purchase plan going into effect, but those are voluntary. On Monday, the State Department is hosting a meeting of some 13 major oil-consuming nations. The sessions will be in secret, and they're being called to discuss a possible unified approach to oil supplies on the part of the consuming nations. Arriving Sunday at Washington Airport for the conference, British Foreign Secretary Alec Douglas-Hume said this.
I hope we shall have a successful conference. It's very necessary that we should, because the world could easily face a trade recession unless the problem of the energy is tackled urgently. And so we come here hopeful that we'll get good results.
France is not so hopeful about the meeting. The French are sending a man to Washington, but they're also saying they suspect the United States may try to force a new oil-sharing policy on reluctant allies. France has already made a number of separate business deals with Arab states designed to assure the French get the oil they want. The U.S. Postal Service says it's doing its bit to help ease the energy shortage. The Postal Service will cut the mileage of its large intercity mail trucks and make sure as many trucks as possible are full for every run. In San Francisco, Postal Official E.V. Dorsey says people should not have to worry about this delaying their mail.
They won't cut the frequency of mail delivery as far as the customer is concerned. For example, let's say we have four runs going to an outlying station of a large city. Maybe we can do it in two runs. Maybe we can get the mail out there in two trips a day rather than four trips a day.
Dorsey says Postal Service trucks are already operating with a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit, and postal trucks are supposed to cut off engines during pickup and delivery stops. I'll have more news after this message.
This is Andy Musser, CBS Sports. Every weekday on Game Plan, I examine the big upcoming sports events, get the locker room wisdom, talk to the players, coaches, and broadcasters, and try to figure out what the results will be. We look ahead and consider the big games on the immediate schedule. It's pregame analysis, taking everything into consideration that may affect the outcome. Hope you'll match your forecast with mine on Game Plan every Monday through Friday here on the CBS Radio Network, where the listeners are.
Drug abuse didn't just happen. The key to destroying drug abuse is getting help from citizens who care enough to get heroin pushers off the streets. If you know the name, address, or description of a pusher, use the heroin hotline. It's toll-free. The number is 800-368-5363. You don't have to give your name, just the important information you have. So do your part to get rid of drug abuse. Call 800-368-5363.
Despite some warnings the nation could face a wheat shortage and skyrocketing bread prices this year, the government maintains these things won't happen. Don Parlberg of the Department of Agriculture tells what's being done to assure an adequate supply.
We have taken some ventures that we think are going to tide us over to the next crop in a reasonable fashion without the kind of skyrocketing bread prices that some people have predicted. The price of bread in December, a one-pound loaf, was 32 cents. And I have seen advertisements in the paper here in Washington of a pound and a half loaf, three loaves for a dollar. Now, that's a long way from a dollar a loaf. I think it's just inappropriate to frighten people with warnings of this sort. There is nothing in the picture that could lead to bread prices at a dollar a loaf.
Arlberg is the Director of Agricultural Economics at the Department of Agriculture. The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee says this week his committee will request certain White House documents in its probe into the possible impeachment of President Nixon. Peter Rodino, a New Jersey Democrat, says the committee can go as far as the secret recesses of the presidency in its investigation. Rodino says this week some committee people will be meeting with James St. Clair, President Nixon's chief Watergate attorney. There are growing indications the strike by independent truck drivers across the nation is all but over. Officials say incidents of violence along Pennsylvania highways is sharply down. On Sunday, several more groups of truck drivers around the country said they are going to tell their men to go back to work. There are still some holdouts in the strike, such as the 3,000-member Independent Truckers Coalition. They still want a diesel fuel price rollback. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
7 News Headlines. Arsonists are blamed for a fire that caused an estimated $250,000 damage to trucks at the Whiting Transportation Terminal early today. Governor McCall heads for Washington, D.C. Tuesday to try to get more gasoline for Oregon this month. Senator Victor Attia says he doesn't think the legislature will pass another real estate consumer protection law. The governors of Oregon and Washington are authority to deal with energy emergencies should they arise. Oregon recorded its lowest traffic death rate in history last year, and heavy fog in the Willamette Valley is forecast again tomorrow. The Portland-Vancouver vicinity weather, fog and low clouds tonight and Monday morning, clearing during the afternoon. Increasing clouds with a chance of showers late Monday night and Tuesday, lows tonight in the low 30s and in the low 40s Monday night, highs both days near 50 degrees. Chance of rainfall near zero tonight and Monday and 40% Monday night. Presently downtown Portland, it's chilly, 37 degrees. This is George Good, KOIN News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. Welcome to the sounds of suspense, to the fear you can hear, to the terrifying world of the imagination. I'm your guide for a journey up a mysterious mountain. Dead Man's Mountain is what it's called. Going is really no problem. It's coming down that separates the living from the dead.
Doctor, a man simply cannot age 40 years in one night.
I wish I knew what to tell you, Mr. Johnson. I saw George last evening at dinner. He was 35. This morning, he's close to 80.
But how could that happen?
He went where he had no business going, up Dead Man's Mountain.
Is there some kind of disease up there? Some germ? Some virus that can age a man?
None that is known to science.
Then how do you account for it?
Probably the Indian legend is correct. Some evil spirit up there hates to be disturbed.
Mystery drama, Dead Man's Mountain, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Alan Hewitt. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll return shortly with Act One.
Hi, son.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Junior.
Kellogg's Special K presents Junior Gives Up. Junior, why aren't you eating your Special K? It's your favorite cereal.
Oh, just because.
Just because why, honey?
Just because Darla said some evil things about it. That's just because why.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Darla. Hi, Sis.
Hi, Junior.
Darla, what did you tell Junior about his Special K?
Daddy, all I told him was that Special K is good for him.
Yeah, and anything that's good for me never seems to taste good.
But, Junior, you already know that Special K tastes good.
Oh, I believe. Darla or my taste buds.
What's that, son?
Oh, nothing, Dad.
Son, Special K is America's favorite high-protein cereal. It's got minerals, vitamins, iron, and all those good, nutritious things. But it's got to be so popular over the years because it tastes good, too.
You mean it's good for me and tastes good, too.
Right, son.
Right, Dad.
Right, Junior.
Right, Mom. Right, indeed. Start your balanced breakfast with Kellogg's Special K. It's nutritious and delicious.
Right, Dad.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from, a pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls, friendly service, and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
A man resting in his hammock. Peaceful. But here's another sound of peace. A new water system in Ethiopia, which Peace Corps volunteers helped to build. See what you can do. Write the Peace Corps at Action, Washington, D.C., 20525.
Night and soul and come and go. The Peace Corps works for peace.
R.J. Johnson sits at his desk. Yes, the R.J. Johnson. The mysterious, the remote R.J. Johnson. I better explain that. His ways are mysterious, except when his plans include you. He is remote, except when he wants something from you. Then his presence can become an overwhelming reality. Some say R.J. is the richest man in the world. Some say he's the second, the third, the fourth richest. Does it matter? All we need to know is that on this particular morning, R.J. Johnson sits at his desk, as usual, and is formulating plans to buy or sell what? An industry? A government? Somebody's soul?
Parker, I want us to maintain our short position on Consolidated Industries. It's bleeding down steadily, and we should help depress it a bit, too. No, I'm not afraid of anything like that. They won't get a government contract. We can see to it. Pick up National Computer and Starlight Oil. I want our full concentration on those three. I'll call you back later. Yes, Mrs. Dollard. Come in.
Mr. Johnson, George Morrissey is here.
And about time. I want hourly reports on Consolidated, National, and Starlight. See to it that Parker can always reach me. Now, have Morrissey come in.
But, sir, about Morrissey.
Is there a problem?
Well, I...
You were saying?
Perhaps I should have said...
Mrs. Dollard, are you all right?
Perhaps I should have said... There's a man outside who claims to be George Morrissey.
Mrs. Dollard, you know George Morrissey.
I thought I did.
If there's any doubt, check security.
I did.
Then that settles it. He could never hope to get past the lobby elevators if he weren't George Morrissey.
Mr. Johnson, maybe what I'm trying to say is there's a man out there. And I don't want him to be George Morrissey.
Have him come in here.
Yes, sir. Mr. Johnson will see you now. Do you see what I mean, Mr. Johnson?
Mrs. Dollard, is this your idea of a practical joke? Who is this?
Please, R.J., don't yell at her.
I can't stand noise.
George?
Yes. George.
You can't be George.
Look at me, RJ. Look at me.
I can't believe it.
You don't want to believe it.
What happened to you?
Please. Please let me sit down.
He walked out of this office 3 weeks ago.
Yes, 3 weeks ago.
He was a man of 35. And now...
Now I know. I look in the mirror. I could be 75.
His hair is all white. He's wrinkled, stooped.
And that's not the worst of it. I feel 75. I couldn't even walk without this cane.
George, the first thing you have to do is tell me exactly what happened.
I was at Manitou Mountain, getting the development deal set, and RJ, listen, we'll have to forget it. Give it up.
What are you saying?
I'm saying forget it. Look at what happened to me. They said, all the locals, they said, the mountain was haunted. Terrible things would happen to anyone who went up there.
Talk sense.
Can't you believe your eyes, RJ? Look at what happened to me.
George, start at the beginning.
I couldn't get anyone to drive up the mountain road. So I hired a car. I drove it myself. I drove it up the mountain and...
Yes, and?
And that's all I remember, RJ. I must have passed out up there.
But something did happen.
It's like a nightmare. I can't bring it into focus. Just flashes of it. Terrible things.
Be specific. What kind of terrible things?
Shapes, forms, voices, saying I was going to die, that my life was falling away, that it was disappearing.
What kind of shapes? What sort of forms?
I don't know.
What size were they? What color?
I don't know.
You say voices. What kind? High, low?
Were
they men voices, women?
I can't remember. I can't
remember. Now pull yourself together.
Pull myself together. Look at me. I'm an old man. I've been robbed of half my life.
Now think. How long did you stay on the mountain?
I don't know. Somehow I have managed to get the car turned around. I drove back to town. I found a doctor.
What's his name?
I don't know.
What did he say?
I can't remember. RJ, I came here to warn you. The mountain, it's haunted. It's cursed. Give up the project.
Mrs. Dollard. Call Dr. Waterson.
No. Doctor can't help me anymore. But I can help you, RJ. Give it up. Give up the project.
Dr. Waterson? Yes. Keep him on fluids, and whatever you do, see that he remains absolutely calm. That was the resident.
About George?
No change in his condition.
Have you checked the local doctor? The one who saw him first?
Well, we called him. He reports he treated a man of about 70 for exhaustion.
That's all you could get out of him?
That's all he had to say.
And what have you got to say, doctor?
We find that George Morrissey has the physical signs of a man in his 70s.
But you know very well he is not in his 70s.
Chronologically, no. Medically, yes.
Is there a disease that could age a man so radically in so short a time?
I would say a man could be ravaged by some psychic or physical attack, but here we have no signs of trauma. His tissues, organs, nervous system, circulatory system, they show the deterioration that could only be caused by aging.
Let's cut through all this, Doctor. How did it happen?
We don't know.
You don't know. Am I supposed to buy this nonsense about a haunted mountain, curses and all that?
I don't have the answer, RJ.
Waterson, over the years, I have contributed millions for medical research. I bought this whole hospital for you. So, are you telling me that now, when I need some answers, I'm not going to get anything for my money?
I'm telling you that we have no answers at this time.
Is it possible that George could be faking?
Why should he want to fake?
Answer my question.
The answer's no.
I want to see him.
He's very weak. Is it important?
I don't make unimportant requests.
Well, just for a minute or two at most. And please, don't excite him.
I won the club championship, and I was named 13th All-America.
George.
Girls, you should see how the girls would fall all over
George,
me.
George, pay attention.
Huh? Oh, it's you, R.J. Listen.
No, George. Don't try to sit up,
but I've got to talk to R.J. Listen, R.J., are you listening?
I'm listening.
Here's what happens to you up there on the mountain. I remember, you see. Now I remember.
Yeah, R.J., don't excite me.
I accept full responsibility.
Up there on that mountain, I was told you will lose that which you value most.
Told? You say told? How? By whom?
I don't know.
How can we get anywhere if you keep saying you don't know? Think.
R.J., I order you from this room.
He's going to die soon, anyhow. We have to get that information.
R.J., I will call security and have the guards throw you out of here.
No, doctor, no. Leave us alone. This is between R.J. and me.
What were you told, George?
I wasn't really told. It was more like a kind of feeling, an idea that seemed to seep into me. And I realized the most important thing, what mattered most to me, was my body.
Talk sense.
I'm talking sense, R.J. And I began to lose my body.
What do you mean, lose your body?
The way you really lose it. To old age. Only, oh, God. Only I was losing it then and there. And all at once.
Is that what you think happened, Morrissey?
But look, I got away from there, you see. I got away just before I would have died. But why? I should have stayed. Look at me. What good am I now?
Be calm and practical, George. We have the greatest doctors in the world here. We'll beat this thing.
You can still beat it, R.J. You can still beat it. Just don't go near that mountain. Just give up the project.
You wanted me, Mr. Johnson?
Has Parker called while I was out?
Yes, sir. He reported in. Consolidated stock is still falling.
That's good.
National Computer is rising. And Starlight Oil is doing well with the new government.
Tell him to increase our holdings. Try 10%. Now, cancel the rest of today and all of tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Call Chuck Daly. I want him here in 3/4 hour.
Sir.
What is it?
Well, Chuck's about to leave for Florida. His daughter's getting married this afternoon.
Tell him he is to fly me up to the Manitou Mountain area.
But Mr. Johnson...
Now, what is it, Mrs. Dollett?
You can't go up to Manitou Mountain.
Why not?
You saw what happened.
What did happen?
You saw George Morrissey.
About George Morrissey. Either he caught a disease...
But medical science doesn't know of such a disease.
Medical science is constantly being surprised. Obviously, someone does not want me to develop the Manitou Mountain Resort Complex. And perhaps they managed to buy George Morrissey.
But I would bet my life on George Morrissey.
You must never bet your life on anybody, Mrs. Dollard. The nearest town to Manitou Mountain is Lafayette Center. Reserve a room for me there at the motel.
But he is George Morrissey. Fingerprints, dental records.
Reserve it under the name R.J. Smith.
Mr. Johnson, are you going up there alone?
You know perfectly well, Mrs. Dollar, that the way to get something done is to do it yourself.
But isn't it dangerous for you to go?
Mrs. Dollard, I have complete freedom of action because, as you know very well, practically nobody on the outside has the faintest idea of what I look like.
How many days do you plan to spend with us, Mr. Smith?
Well, that all depends.
Oh? On what?
Do you suppose I could hire a car and driver?
Oh, let's see. I have some cards here. Pick out any name. Tell them Doris Evans over at the motel recommended you.
Do you mean I need a recommendation to hire a car?
Well, it's deer season. Can't expect a man to concentrate on his business.
I would think you can if you pay him and he recognizes his obligation.
Well, I can see you're a very serious-minded person, Mr. Smith. What brings you up to our frivolous part of the world?
I intend to do some sightseeing.
Sightseeing?
I hear you have some very beautiful country.
Oh, yes, we do have a lot of very beautiful country up here. Wild, unspoiled. And we aim to keep it that way, too.
Tell me, is there a doctor in town?
Oh, I hope nothing's wrong. Wouldn't want you to get sick on us while you're here.
No, I should just be checked every now and then.
Oh, well, we do have Doc Stallings.
Does he have office hours now?
His office hours are when he's not hunting or fishing. But I think he'd give up a chance at a 12-point buck for you.
Why?
Well, he doesn't get an opportunity like this every day.
To do what?
To treat the world-famous R.J. Johnson.
I see. How did you know
I... Oh, I'm sorry. Really, I shouldn't have given it away. After all, if you want to call yourself Mr. Smith, we should indulge that little conceit.
But how did you know?
Mr. Johnson, the whole town knows you're up here. Why, we've all been waiting for you.
We've all been waiting. Waiting for what reason? Had they also been waiting for George Morrissey? And George was only R.J. Johnson's hired man. We'll be back shortly with Act Two.
For children growing up in homes without books, there's a special emptiness. A deep-down hunger for the world beyond the street corner or playground. A world where they could grow up to become whatever they want to be. The millions of these children will never find out about that world, because they'll never know what they can learn in books unless you help. RIF, reading is fundamental, is helping to get millions of books into the hands of these boys and girls. Books they can choose themselves for keeps. And once a child gets into books, there's no stopping him. More than 150 local RIF programs are proving it in communities like yours. Won't you help RIF? Help the children in your community. Write to RIF Incorporated. That's RIF, care of Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C., 20560.
In 1919, someone had a big idea. Let's help youth understand big business by starting them in small businesses of their own. And Junior Achievement was born. Each group elected a board of directors, chose a product, set up a production line, sold stock, and went into business. That year, 314 students made and sold products and learned the business of business. Today, Junior Achievement has grown to nearly 200,000 members. Junior Achievers are designing and marketing their own products and services, from cutting boards to printing. They're organizing sales efforts, writing marketing plans, calculating profit and loss. Running these small businesses helps Junior Achievers understand how big business works. Support Junior Achievement, where youth learns the business of business. Call your local Junior Achievement office.
One of the world's wealthiest men sits in the tiny lobby of a small motel in an out-of-the-way village somewhere in the Adirondacks. And suddenly he feels that all of his money and power somehow seem to be very far away at this anxious moment.
You say the whole town's been waiting for me, Mrs. Evans?
Yes, we've been waiting.
Why?
Well, you own us now.
I own you.
In a manner of speaking, you own all the land that surrounds this village.
I would think of myself as more of a neighbor.
Oh, well, we don't think your plans for the area will make you a good neighbor.
You had your chance to protest against the project at the hearing.
And we did.
And after the legislature weighed all the pros and cons, they acted in the interests of the entire state, not your narrow provincial prejudices.
You really believe that, don't you?
I certainly do.
Well, we know why certain votes went a certain way.
Oh, do you? Suppose you tell me.
Well, we know there was bribery and pressure.
Really? None of this was found by the special prosecutor's office.
Well, I must admit, though, I admire your courage.
My courage?
To come up here, all alone, without your thugs.
Oh, just a minute, Mrs. Evans.
Oh, they have clean fingernails, excellent manners, college degrees. But they help you to steal and cover your tracks. In that sense, they're no better than common thugs.
You really believe that, don't you? Now, let me set you straight. I have never done anything illegal.
Oh, you can't be serious.
No court has ever found me guilty of any crime.
Congratulations.
But here's what I am guilty of. Success. And this has earned me the envy and the hatred of millions of people. But that's human nature. I understand that. What I don't understand is the attitude of the people in this town. I'm not taking anything from you. I'm going to make every one of you rich. Can't you believe it?
Oh, yes. We believe it.
Do you have any idea how property values in this town will skyrocket when the development is here?
Yes, indeed.
Then why is everybody so unhappy?
You know, you remind me of my husband. My late husband, that is.
In what way?
He was an unsuccessful version of you. He also worshipped money. But he didn't know how to make it.
Now, what happened to your husband?
He went up to what your investment brochure calls Manitou Mountain. Dead Man's Mountain, we call it around here, and it... Well, it killed him.
How could the mountain kill him?
It's an old Indian legend. Unless your conscience is completely clear, that mountain will kill you. Well, it killed poor Sidney Evans, rest his soul.
Killed him? How?
He was discovered at the foot of it. He was completely shriveled.
There must be an explanation.
Doc Stallings never found it. He just wrote it up as death due to causes unknown.
Stallings is, after all, only a country doctor.
That's right, he is. Tell me, how do your high-powered city doctors explain Mr. Morrissey?
Do you know about Mr. Morrissey?
Oh, the whole town knows about Mr. Morrissey. Poor Mr. Morrissey, he went up there. Something he had no business doing.
I must correct that. He had every business doing it. He was my agent inspecting my property on orders from me.
But the fact is, he went up there, and the mountain got him.
Have other people met with mysterious results after climbing that mountain?
Oh, very few and far between. We may be just country folk up here, but we learn from experience.
Are you Dr. Stallings?
Well, look who's here.
They said you'd be out fishing.
Well, that's never a bad guess, but it takes two, and the trout won't play.
I'd like to talk to you.
Sure.
I'm willing to pay you for a consultation.
Oh, I intend to charge you.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, aren't you going to come up here out of the water?
Well, you see, I got my eye out for a certain brown trout. So you just tell me your symptoms, and I'll decide whether I have to examine you.
An employee of mine. You treated him recently. George Morrissey.
Oh, him.
What happened to George Morrissey?
Well, I met him at the motel. It was a Thursday night. I go there for dinner whenever Doris Evans serves pot roast. Heck, you're lucky. She's having it tonight.
About Mr. Morrissey?
Oh, he was a serious kind of fella. Not like you. Same no-nonsense, let's get right down to it attitude.
I'm only interested in what happened to Morrissey.
What happened? Well, he wanted to hire somebody to drive him up to Dead Man's Mountain.
And nobody would do it.
That's right.
Why?
Well, you've been told why by now, I'm sure.
I'm asking you why.
I'll tell you the same thing.
That's impossible.
Why is it impossible? Oh, I see what you're thinking. It's all right for the simple-minded hicks up here to swallow that superstitious nonsense, but me, I'm a doctor. A product of a highly sophisticated, specialized education.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Well, think again, because I believe it, too.
There has to be a reasonable, logical, rational explanation for what happened to George Morrissey.
Oh, there is.
He offended the spirit of the mountain.
Oh, you consider that reasonable, logical, rational?
Would you feel better if I said there's something up in that mountain, a virus, a bacillus, a fungus, which somehow causes immediate aging?
It would be a more rational explanation.
You mean more acceptable.
I want to know what you believe, and I'll pay you for it.
I believe the evidence. If you go up there, you can die.
But why?
Because a great spirit lives up there, and he values his privacy.
That's impossible.
I saw George Morrissey at dinner one night. A vigorous, athletic-looking man in his 30s. I saw him again the following evening. A broken old man, half dead.
And you explain it with this half-baked legend.
Well, how do your city doctors, with all their modern facilities, explain it? Your Dr. Waterson, a world-famous diagnostician, he called me. He asked me.
This thing has to be cleared up.
Why? What's wrong with a nice, quiet mystery?
If word of this becomes general, it can destroy the entire project.
Uh-huh. Is that bad?
Millions of people will be deprived of an opportunity to enjoy healthful recreation in a fresh country environment.
Ah, but it won't be fresh country, you see. You'll have super highways and smoke and noise and honky-tonk resorts.
I'm convinced that you people are up to something.
Will you tell me what?
I don't know. But I assure you, I have the resources to find out.
Well, if you ever do, let me know.
Well, did you find Doc Stallings?
My secretary should have called me on the hour.
Oh, she did. We serve dinner till 9:30, but the best time to eat's around 6. From then on, it's leftovers.
I'll have a sandwich sent up to my room.
Oh, you're joking.
I don't tell jokes.
You mean all you want for dinner is a sandwich?
Mrs. Evans, food is merely fuel. The body is just a machine, and so my tastes are very simple.
Whom do rich men think they impress when they say they have simple tastes? Do you have a wife?
I never married.
Oh? Well, so far we've eliminated wine and women. I can see by looking at you that there isn't too much song. Oh, what do you do with all your money?
I make it grow.
Whatever you do, don't go up that mountain.
I don't think I need any more advice from anyone around here. I would like to place a call to New York.
You go up that mountain, and when you come down, you'll be penniless.
You have my secretary's number there. Please put it through.
Just remember, I told you.
It's exactly 5 minutes past 4, Mrs. Dollard.
I know that, sir.
Why haven't you heard from Parker?
I'm expecting a call any moment.
Any moment was not his orders. I specifically directed him to report on the hour.
Yes, sir.
Why is there a delay?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Mr. Johnson, I'm only human.
What did you say, Mrs. Dollard? Mrs. Dollard? Operator? Operator! Now, see here, Mrs. Evans.
Oh, Mr. Johnson, I was just trying to reach your room.
I've been cut off in the middle of a crucial telephone call.
Carlotta, the phone company operator, she just told me that we can't get through to New York for a bit.
What are you saying?
Well, you've seen those signs along the roads. Look out for falling rocks. Well, we just had a pretty good slide on Route 640.
Well, I must talk to New York.
A lot of wires are down, but Ev Bailey and his boys will have it fixed before long. Oh, hi, Doc.
Hello, Doris. And why does the celebrated R.J. Johnson look so agitated?
Well, he can't make a phone call.
Oh, my. You know, Mr. Johnson, as a physician, I have a prescription that could keep you healthy and happy for years.
Doctor, I'm in no mood for your folksy philosophy. I have to make a phone call.
Don't you want to hear my prescription?
How long will it take to repair the lines?
No, maybe an hour.
An hour?
Maybe less.
I would prescribe the following. Chuck it all, Mr. Johnson. Give it up. Settle down here. Marry Doris.
Oh, I'm not sure I'd want to marry him, Doctor.
I am not out to marry anybody.
Oh, why not?
What's going on in this town? Are you people crazy? Where's the police station?
The police station?
Well, we do have a sheriff.
Send for him.
What do you want the sheriff for?
There has to be some kind of plot. Where can I find the sheriff?
Oh,
You don't have to find him. He's coming in the door right now. Hi, Elwood.
Evening, folks.
A gentleman here wants to see you, Elwood.
Yes, sir.
Sheriff, I need your help.
That's what we're here for, sir.
My name is R.J. Johnson.
Pleased to meet you.
Sheriff, these people are trying to...
Yes, sir?
These people are out to do me harm.
Which people?
Among others, these two.
But Doc Stallings here is the greatest guy you'd ever hope to meet. Matter of fact, he takes care of me. And I personally vouch for Doris. She's my sister.
A very nice, tidy little town. And the natives are so friendly and obliging. And so concerned with your well-being. But right now, R.J. Johnson feels overwhelmed by their solicitude. As if he is being literally killed with kindness. We'll return shortly with Act Three.
Ever see a beer drinker pour his beer real easy down the side of the glass? Maybe you do it yourself. If so, the Budweiser brewmaster thinks you're missing something. Especially if you're a Budweiser drinker. You see, Bud is brewed, so it will kick up a healthy head of foam. Exclusive beechwood aging and natural carbonation make it a lively brew. Well, anyway, pouring Bud plunk down the middle of the glass helps bring out the best in the clean white Budweiser foam and real beer aroma. It also helps you get the full benefit of a taste, smoothness, and drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Remember, brewing beer right does make a difference. Next time, pour that Budweiser right down the middle and see for yourself. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
I found the work to be really challenging, and I enjoy it a lot.
If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be in it. People.
My orientation all my life has been, you know, to help.
I wouldn't have been in Red Cross if I didn't care, you know, about people.
People who care about other people.
It's an opportunity for me to help other people and to see my efforts and my skill pay off.
It's just a very rewarding feeling to think that some little thing you've done is going to help somebody else.
It's the joy you feel when you've helped someone.
People who help other people.
It's like anybody involved with Red Cross programs. They want to volunteer and they want to help.
They are just that type of person who will go out of their way to do anything for anybody at any time, and it carries over to the work they do for the Red Cross.
You know, it's like they're there when you need them.
The people who are the good neighbor. The American Red Cross.
I think that anything you know in this world, if you don't use it when it's needed, what good is it?
Are the people of Lafayette Center the kindly, generous-hearted folks they seem to be? Or is this a place of evil, where death waits for strangers, especially a wealthy stranger like R.J. Johnson?
How are these good people out to harm you, Mr. Johnson?
I don't know, Sheriff, but something is going on. And I demand protection until I can get some of my own people up here.
You've got to appreciate my position, Mr. Johnson. There's nothing I can do unless you make a charge.
Well, we're only trying to help him, Elwood. You see, I look at this man's face and I hear the tension in his voice and I see his color, you know? So I say to him, change your way of life. Settle down up here. Is that harming him?
Well, it doesn't seem like it.
I recommend a more regular routine.
And we both keep warning him, stay away from Dead Man's Mountain.
Mr. Johnson? You couldn't get better advice from your best friends.
Well, now I see how this works. A little bit of psychological warfare.
Doc, what's he talking about?
I'll tell you what I'm talking about. For reasons best known to yourselves, you people are determined to keep strangers at a distance.
Oh, we'd only be too happy if more folks would move up here.
And so you invented this nonsense about a cursed and haunted mountain.
But why?
You know why, Sheriff. Because to any man of intelligence and courage, it presents a challenge. But before a man goes up there, you prepare him.
Well, gentlemen, you can stay and listen to all this. I've got to serve dinner.
By all means, Mrs. Evans. We can continue this discussion at the table.
Oh? I thought all you wanted was a sandwich.
Oh, no. Tonight, I'm having all the trimmings.
Here you are, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you.
Pot roast, mashed potatoes, peas and carrots.
Now, that's a cure for whatever ails you.
Hold on. Dr. Stallings, change plates with me, please.
Why? It's the same portion.
Except I always give you a little bit less, Doc.
Would you mind changing plates, Doctor?
No, not if you tell me why.
Since I'm going up to the mountain, there could be something in this food. A drug, perhaps.
Oh, I like that.
Very well, Mr. Johnson. Here, have it your way.
You say you're going up the mountain?
Yes.
After all we told you?
I'm going up that mountain to prove that it's just an ordinary piece of undeveloped country real estate.
Can you stop him?
Why would everybody want to stop me?
Well, look what it did to your Mr. Morrissey.
Suppose, for the sake of argument, there is something dangerous up there. And it gets me. Isn't that to your interest? Without me, there can't be a development project.
Well, we have a more basic interest. We have obligations as human beings.
Well, now, I will need a car. There's a road, I assume.
Oh, yes, sir. Leads up to the top.
But why go now? At night?
Because the word should get around. R.J. Johnson drove up this dead man's mountain, as you call it, in the dead of night, and just as calmly drove down again.
But, Mr. Johnson,
you
really...
have something to learn, Mrs. Evans. You think a man becomes rich through trickery, violence, and all manner of illegal, immoral, and unethical acts.
I never said that.
But you believe it. Tonight, you're going to discover how I became rich. By daring to do what other people consider impossible. It's that simple.
I would still advise you to keep away from that mountain.
Let's end the little game, Doctor. I have humored all you people long enough.
Well, very well. How do you account for George Morrissey?
Very simple. George Morrissey is not R.J. Johnson.
Oh.
Does the spirit of the mountain, going along with the legend, kill everyone whose conscience is not clear? Very well. I'm safe. My conscience is unblemished.
Elwood, I still think you should stop him.
The sheriff has no right to interfere. I'm merely inspecting my own property.
Well, he's right, Doris.
A little exercise in morality here. Who would care to accompany me? You look down on me. You are the pillars of virtue. You mean there isn't a clear conscience among the three of you?
I'll drive you.
Doris,
what are you saying?
He's challenged us.
But, Doris, you know you can't fight the mountain.
Well, we can't let somebody else get killed up there either.
But what can you do?
Well, at the first sign of anything suspicious, I can turn the car around. Mr. Johnson, you've got yourself a driver, and I suggest we leave right now. The moon goes down early around here.
First, I have to call New York.
But the lines are still down.
How do you know?
Carlotta will let us know when they're fixed.
Maybe I'd better wait.
Oh. Don't tell me you're starting to have second thoughts.
I have some very important things to check out.
We can drive to the top of the mountain and back again in an hour.
How do you know? Have you done it before?
No, just a guess. And I'm ready if you are.
What is it, Mrs. Evans?
Well, we're here. We're at the foot of Dead Man's Mountain. And there, you see, on your right, is the dirt road that leads upward.
How far?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, what are we waiting for?
You won't change your mind, Mr. Johnson?
No.
I still don't understand why you have to do this.
This is another reason why I'm a rich man. I buy stock nobody else believes in. I finance schemes other people think are harebrained. I back men no one else will work with. And
I climb mountains everyone else is scared by.
I'm climbing this mountain, too.
Then you also deserve to be rich.
Well, do we go ahead or do we turn back?
One must always go ahead, Mrs. Evans.
Then, here goes.
How do you feel, Mrs. Evans?
All right. I guess.
You guess?
How do you feel?
I don't have to guess. I know. I feel great. It should be interesting.
What?
Let's assume all you people are right. This mountain is haunted by a great spirit who strikes down all who have guilt. Which one of us do you suppose he'll strike down?
Well, I don't have a guilty conscience.
I wonder about that. I heard the doctor say you had a weakness for men with problems. Your late husband. Maybe he didn't have problems. Maybe you had the problems.
Well, we all have problems.
Stop for a moment.
What's the matter?
I think I heard somebody.
I haven't heard a sound.
Shh. Listen.
RJ, I'll have the security guard throw you out of here.
It's Waterson. It's Dr. Waterson. What's he doing up here?
Who's Dr. Waterson?
He's looking after George Morrissey.
I'll throw you out of here.
Didn't you hear him?
There's no one around but you and me.
Now that I think of it, that's a strange way for Waterson to talk to me. He would never have the guts to say that unless... he knew something.
Look, I think we'd better turn around.
No. I think I'm learning something. Waterson, do you know that Waterson is Parker's son-in-law?
Well, who's Parker?
My administrative assistant. He executes all my orders. Suppose Consolidated Industries is not going down. Suppose it's starting to go up. Suppose Parker is still holding...
Oh, come on, Mr. Johnson. Just relax. Now, if it's too much for you up here, let's turn back.
Tell me, Mrs. Evans... how did you know I'd be here?
Well, we just assumed.
No one told you.
Who would tell us?
A pilot. My pilot.
I didn't even know you had one.
He may have been put out because I made him fly me here on his daughter's wedding day.
Oh? Well, that really wasn't nice.
I pay him enough, but he didn't tell you.
No.
Listen.
I don't hear anything.
Just listen. There.
I'm only human, Mr. Johnson. I'm only human.
Why would she answer me like that if she didn't know something?
I don't hear a thing, Mr. Johnson.
I'm only human. I'm only human. Let me tell you about her. She's quiet. She's almost mousy. But she's ambitious. I can tell. I've made her a rich woman. She's in on it. She's in on it, too. She and Parker and Morrissey, they worked it out. And you're in on it, too.
Me?
They wanted me out of the way. And so all of you got together. You worked up this phony scheme.
But we're going to turn back.
Answer the phone.
What phone?
Answer it. Hello? Hello?
Mr. Johnson, I have the latest call done. It's going up.
It can't go up.
It's gone up 5 points so far.
Get Parker. Close it out. Close it out.
I can't find Parker.
Get him. Get him. Mrs. Dollard. Mrs. Dollard.
Who are you talking to?
My secretary. She hung up on me.
How could she hang up? There's no phone.
Consolidated is going up.
But there's no stock market at night.
Mr. Johnson, it's going crazy. National Computer is going down.
Have Parker sell at once.
I can't find Parker.
Mrs. Dollard. Mrs. Dollard! She's gone again.
Listen to me, Mr. Johnson. Please, listen.
Do you know how much money I've lost so far?
Please, listen. You have nothing to be afraid of. It's just a legend. Who can be sure it's true? Oh, sure, we local people push it to scare away developers.
I feel weak. As if I
lost a lot of blood.
Listen, you're R.J. Johnson. You're not to be taken in with this superstitious nonsense. Fight it off.
I can't. I'm trying. But all my strength is going. My money. It's disappearing.
Your money isn't your strength.
It is. It is. I have nothing else. Please, answer the phone for me. I can hardly lift the receiver.
The rebel government just nationalized Starlight Oil.
What did you say? Mrs. Dollard. Mrs. Dollard.
Mr. Johnson, we're leaving.
What? It happened. Everything I was afraid of happened. Consolidated went up. National went down. And Starlight...
Nothing happened. It's all your imagination. Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson. Come to me. Mr. Johnson.
He's dead.
But how? Why?
Doris, I don't know. There isn't a mark or a sign on him. It's as if all the force and vital energy just left his body.
Well, maybe it's all for the best. He was in trouble.
Trouble?
It was on the news. Some of his holdings went haywire for some reason. Three big companies. He's out millions. He may have died just in time.
The mountain. The mountain.
What about the mountain?
It's true. Every word we say about it. It's true.
Oh, come on, sis. How can it be true?
The mountain killed him. It took away his money.
Doris, are you all right?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I wonder. What did it do to me?
Well, what did it do to Doris? Everybody loses what he values most up on Dead Man's Mountain, as the saying goes. Maybe Doris had fallen in love with R.J. And thus the mountain robbed her, too. I'll be back shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
For heaven's sake, this store won't give me back my $25 for the ice skates. All they would give me is this credit slip, and they don't even have any more skates in my size. Oh, what am I going to do?
Madam, not all stores make cash refunds on returns, you know.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. You know, only some stores will make refunds because it's their policy to do so, not because they're required to do so. Next time, remember, find out about a store's policy on refunds and exchanges before you buy.
I guess you're right.
Well, you know, it's just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Haunted mountains. Did this one cause certain stocks to go up and down one day recently? It certainly seems no more far-fetched than some of the explanations people have for the market. The cast in our exercise in The Extraordinary included Alan Hewitt, Bryna Rayburn, William Redfield, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
The only way to learn how to swim... it's to jump in the water, right?
I simply can't make you understand, can I?
Well, maybe I can make you understand. Ah, forget it. You want to get that dinner ready? I'm hungry.
Yes, yes, I'm going now.
Look, why don't you change first?
Change?
Yeah, your clothes. Get more comfortable.
Yes, I think I'd like to do that, George. I won't be long.
Take it easy. That's my surprise. That's it. Tell him.
Get him out of here. Please, George. Take him away.
It's only a dog, for Pete's sake. He's not going to hurt you.
Get it out. George! Please!
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. Representatives from 13 major oil-consuming countries will sit down to an American-hosted conference in Washington Monday. They'll see if they can come up with an answer to deal with their oil shortages. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Some of the representatives met on Sunday to work on an agenda. That agenda reportedly is broad enough so that any topic dealing with the shortage can be discussed. The United States is hoping for some cooperative agreement so that there will be no unlimited bidding for oil. The strike by independent truckers seems to be winding down. On Sunday, many states reported truck traffic back to near normal, and they also reported a decrease in the incidents of violence. The Pennsylvania National Guard is preparing to go home, and in Washington, federal mediator William Ussery spent the day answering truckers' questions on the telephone. Ussery said that some of the questions dealt with price rollbacks the truckers wanted on diesel fuel.
They asked about the rollback each time, but once we fully explain why a rollback is not feasible, then I think in most cases they're willing to accept that. It's been very difficult to explain, but we have been able to explain it to them, and once they understand that, they're willing to accept.
Federal mediator William Ussery. The truckers' demand for price rollbacks to last May's levels was rejected by the government. The government did tell the truckers they could charge shippers an extra 6%, a way of passing on higher prices for fuel. The government did promise to give the truckers all the fuel they needed. British police report no violence Sunday in the first day of the strike by coal miners. Dockers at the North Sea seaport of Immingham refused to unload an Italian freighter that carried coal from Poland. The dockers say they're supporting the British miners' strike. At the Nottinghamshire mine, about 30 pickets briefly prevented some maintenance men from going to work, but police cleared a path for the men. The Conservative government of Prime Minister Heath apparently is not budging from its stand not to give in to the miners' demands for higher pay. The labor picture in West Germany looks bleak. On Sunday, workers at the Frankfurt airport and the country's national theaters walked off their jobs. On Monday, city transit workers and garbage collectors plan a similar walkout. The workers' action is aimed at winning a 15% wage increase. So far, the government has offered only a 9.5% wage hike. The largest of the unions involved has agreed to sit down again Monday night with government negotiators. The government reportedly is ready to make a new wage offer. We'll have more in a minute.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can. Find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life. What lies ahead? Don't wanna get trapped, wanna feel free and safe. All over the world, there's so much to do. The call of the sea, don't you hear it? Where do I go from here? Where do I go from here?
What about the new Navy? You'll get your chance of success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000 or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
For the three Skylab astronauts, it's the first night at home in about 3 months. On Monday, they'll begin a series of daily medical tests. The three crew members arrived at Ellington Air Force Base near Houston Sunday night, and they got a red carpet welcome. David Dick.
The last Skylab crew, Marine Lieutenant Colonel Gerald Carr, civilian scientist Dr. Edward Gibson, and Air Force Lieutenant Colonel William Pogue arrived on time at Ellington Air Force Base following their record-setting 84 days in space. They were greeted by their wives and families and a crowd of several hundred. Colonel Carr said it had been a magnificent team effort, that it was great to be home, and he expressed his thanks to all those who had watched over his family for the past 84 days. Dr. Gibson, the only one of the crew who was not wearing a beard, said he had told his crewmates he thought beards were unclean and unsightly. And then he added another reason why he had not grown one was because he didn't have enough whiskers. And so ends the last journey of the last Skylab crew. There will be no more missions for U.S. astronauts for at least 5 years. David Dick, CBS News, Ellington Air Force Base, Texas.
Field reports from Cambodia say a large group of rebel soldiers has massed about 2 miles south of Phnom Penh and apparently is ready to attack a major power station there. Fighting went on at three fronts around the city on Sunday. The Cambodian command said 52 rebel soldiers were killed, but it gives no reports of government casualties. Another day of heavy fighting reported in South Vietnam. The military command says 29 of its soldiers were killed, 94 North Vietnamese and Viet Cong killed in several battles. In the midst of fighting, Saigon continued its release of prisoners of war. The Viet Cong are scheduled to resume their release of Vietnamese POWs this coming Tuesday. Aides to President Nixon say he will travel to Florida this Wednesday. Mr. Nixon will be making a series of public appearances, including a hospital dedication in Miami, and then he'll spend some time at his Key Biscayne home. The president is expected back in Washington next Monday. This is Ann Crosman, CBS News.